had a little bit of a change in schedule. As you notice, Nish is here on Tuesdays now, Tuesday morning from 8 to 8:30. From 8:30 to 9, we got our buddy, one and only, there is no other like him, Mr. Patrick Doyle, local area counselor. And he's here to take your questions, and he's also in private practice, and the number to his office is 301-5500, 301-5500. But he's here on Tuesdays to take your call. Hi, bud. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing all right?
I am. I don't know if you know this, but my family's out of town.
Is that why you're dragging?
Yeah, it is.
I was wondering why you were kind of... I didn't know if you didn't have a cup, or you just dragging, or you having a bad day. Do counselors have bad days?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do pastors have bad days?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you do when you don't feel like you got it?
I go to a quiet place, lay down on my face, and say, God, you got to show up, dude, because I don't got it. It's just like every other day.
Really?
Yeah, but my wife and kids, for Christmas, I surprised my wife with a week to her father in Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, and so I am without my kids, my wife, so I feel like I don't have any purpose.
And yeah, you know, that's,
except for taking care of the animals and the
my and son being
got
here.
But yeah, my son got a bearded dragon for Christmas.
What?
A bearded dragon? So it's a lizard.
Oh, really?
And so I got to feed it crickets, and you know,
you got to go out and catch him?
No, I buy them.
What's this? You got an exotic animal that requires exotic food?
Yeah, it is. My son, he's totally hilarious. He loves, he wants to be a snake handler when he grows up.
Oh, well.
And so I told him, I said, son, you can be a pastor in Appalachia, and you can kill two birds with one stone.
There you go.
You can be a snake handler and a pastor.
Oh, no. Oh, that's great.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen.
I've been a little bit...
Well, you know, you came in here, you kind of said, I don't know, but yeah. I do have something on my mind.
Okay.
It kind of picks up from where we were last week. In fact, the subject came up, and I had a couple pastors call in during this time. It was kind of interesting. Mm. And the subject is, it's really so broad. I don't know what to do here. But a lot of folks, how can I say this? Because I am a real advocate of the church.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people don't feel the church is meeting their need. Now, I know that that can sound selfish.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
Church has become routine and predictable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And men really are falling into this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meeting their need, and I don't mean that from a selfish serve me.
Right.
It's just that church has been figured out,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard. I'm talking to a lot of guys that are just not motivated to go to church. Now they love God.
Yeah.
They love their family.
Mm-hmm.
They're living a Christian life. They're doing all the right things. They're still paying their tithes. They're doing all. But church is ho hum. It's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds pretty selfish.
Yeah.
But what's the problem?
Well,
because it came out of a statistic. Now, here's the other statistic that came out of. There was a statistic out that shows that 75% of Americans, this is a year-end review done by Barna,
okay,
that 75% of Americans feel they are people of faith.
Yeah.
But when really questioned, when they've gone to the next level of questioning,
yeah.
15% of those actually believe that God is first place in their life.
Right.
And so, I mean, we got a real problem here. Churches, faith is, all this is not connecting, and yet I watch Christian television, and I'm watching these crowds by the thousands to go to these popular preachers.
Mm-hmm.
And are you telling me that 15% of those are really connected, and the other 85% are just there?
I would say that the vast majority of those people there aren't connected, because I don't believe many of those guys are actually preaching the gospel.
Whoa! Oh, no. Okay, hold on, folks. Don't fire a shot at me yet. Okay, hold on now. Buckle your seatbelt. I had Marshall Foster on, and he was talking about believism because all this started from the congressman from Minnesota who put his hand on the Quran and took the oath of office by his hand on the Quran.
Right.
And I have said, for the first time in our Christian lives, we're being forced to defend our faith in public, and we're not comfortable with that. And the reason we're not comfortable with that, we really don't know what we believe. We ended up parroting what the pastor tells us.
Exactly. And I really think there's a lot to that. And I've said it before, I believe it to be true. And I want to say this, you know, I sometimes do say critical things of the church. But I got to tell you, it's not because I'm critical of the church. It's because I love the church deeply. And it's something God loves. God loves the church.
Mm-hmm. Gave his life for it.
Yeah, and we as believers, look, if there's a problem in the church, it's my problem because I'm part of the church. So I don't see it as a distant issue. It's something I, as a person, have to deal with. So I want to let people know that my underlying motivation is not to be critical.
No, and neither is mine. So I got to be really careful because mm-hmm. I don't want people to think I'm just... because I see the dove is not here to replace the church.
Absolutely not.
The dove is an augmentation of the church.
That's right.
We're just an addict to the church.
That's right. But well, here's the thing.
Additive, not an addict. Additive. Well, maybe we're an addict to some. Addict to me. I think about this thing a lot. But
one of the things I would say, and I say this to a lot of people, if you're not willing to wash the dirt off the feet, you're not allowed to point it out. So if you're not willing to get busy fixing, dealing, involving yourself with a problem, then don't talk to me about it. Don't confront it. Don't bring it up.
Okay, but why don't people feel comfortable going to church with all their problems? Why don't they go there and dump?
They don't trust. They don't trust because there's no relationship. It gets back to what we talked about last week. There's not a fellowship that could sustain an intimate conversation. So what we have, in my estimation, in the church at large, is a lot of people who are there, but they don't have any depth. They're very shallow. Because frankly, if you stand up and preach...
Is that their problem or the pastor's problem?
I think it's both. I think one problem is that we haven't been preaching the gospel effectively. We haven't been really challenging the congregation with reality. I think that if you preach the gospel on a regular basis, what you're going to find is that you're going to lose members. It's part of the whole, we need to make it palatable for everyone. Well, you know, I've read the Bible several times, and it is not palatable. The gospel is not going to make you comfortable. And so, you know, I think there's a huge effort in the last 20 years with church movement, that Rick Warren started, which is, you know, a comfortable church, you know, seeker friendly.
Is that wrong?
I think so.
Really?
I don't want my church to be seeker friendly. I want it to be Jesus friendly. I want it to be God-centered, not man-centered. When you make it seeker-friendly, you're moving from God-centered to man-centered. Maybe not intentionally. I don't think that Rick Warren sat around and thought, how do I be, you know, disobedient to God? I think that he is misinformed, though, when he thinks being man-centered or friendly to the sinner is what the Bible says. I don't think that's what the gospel is at all. Christ confronted sin over and over again.
There's a couple of levels here. Now, I don't want to get the immature mixed up with the mature.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. The seeker, they don't know they need God.
Right.
And the church has been stereotyped as being a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
So why go there?
Right.
So why not create a friendly atmosphere by which the person who really doesn't know what they're mm-hmm. looking for can come mm-hmm. in and be introduced to it.
You know what? I have no problem with that as long as we are unflinching, completely whole in our presentation of the gospel. The problem is what we've done is we've made it friendly by taking out some of the difficult parts of the gospel.
Well, I will agree with that. I have stepped to pulpits and churches and been told what not to say.
And see, to me, that is why church doesn't work for people. It's like, well, I can get that anywhere. Why do I need to submit myself to all those regulations and all that stuff? I can get what those people have got somewhere else. I can get that at the country club. I can get that at the, you know, gun club. I can get that at the, you know, whatever club. Mm-hmm. And so, look, real intense hope does not come from feeling okay. It comes from having an intimacy with God. Intimacy with God, I'm telling you right now, is costly. There is no way around it.
Now, your primary function in life.
Have you kind of figured that out?
As a counselor, okay, I'm going to make a wild guess here, but I don't think I'm too far off.
Okay.
Most of the people that come to you are believers.
Correct.
And they come there because now their faith has been challenged to the core, and they're asking you, where's mm-hmm. God in this mess, and mm-hmm. how do I get out of it?
Absolutely. Or why? Why?
Why did this happen to me?
Yeah. Why does this keep happening?
Yeah.
Why doesn't this stop? I have prayed. I've been to church. I've given my tithe. I have. And, you know, the unfortunate part of that is God never said if you did those things, he promised anything.
Okay.
You know,
I'm just wondering if we would have, if we had signups for a volunteer Christian army, and we're going to go out and we know the devil's over there and he's in the bushes, would we get any volunteers to sign up and go?
I don't know. But here's my thing is that the whole Christian experience, it starts with one thing. It centers around the gospel, period. Paul said, I'm going to preach Christ and him crucified. That's it. It's not about fixing all your problems. It's not about a five-step program for saving your marriage. It's not about all of the stuff we get bogged down in. If we get back to striving to have a deep and meaningful intimacy with God, things will begin to change. The scripture says, if you see God, you will be changed. It is not optional.
Okay. Wide open for your input, 776-5368 or 1-800-373-5368. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
You're in this one, huh?
Yeah, I'm in this one. Our pastor made a comment over the this past Sunday that kind of hits on what you're talking about. We were getting ready to take communion, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, a lot of what people think of when they go to church is leave your problems at the door, come in, be all hunky-dory and fuzzy and warm, and do your thing, and then you go out again,
right.
and you end up picking up those problems on your way out. He goes, I don't want that. I
right.
want you to bring your problems in here with you
good.
So that you can leave them
mm-hmm.
at the foot of the altar
yeah,
and leave them here and mm-hmm. not take them back out with
right.
you.
Right, exactly.
So... that's my
perfect.
Comment.
Good, Renee. Thank you.
Boy, you sure. brought up a good one. Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome.
That's a perfect point. And
yeah.
the church is to be a place for that stuff to come to. Now, here's the other side of it, Perry. I believe that a lot of leadership in church is absolutely overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that's going on. Therefore, they become incapable of dealing with a lot of the stuff going on in the church.
Well, we mistake scheduling. In motion for progress.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the question is church a real place?
One of the quotes I love is that perspiration is often the lack of inspiration.
Hmm.
You know, just because somebody's sweating doesn't mean they're in God's flow.
Yeah.
And I think in the church we're guilty of that a lot.
Well, I'm not looking for things to nitpick. That's the last thing. I got other fish to fry here, but... it is becoming a concern because
mm-hmm.
the calls that I get, that I give them your number,
thank you,
are people that are frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of that.
They don't feel safe bringing their mm-hmm. problems into the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that the first Sunday of every month they're going to take communion. And it's not, the service isn't wrapped around it. It's just
mm-hmm.
kind of attached
mm-hmm.
to the service.
Mm-hmm.
And they move on.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole meaning and the purpose, and quite frankly, if I can say this, the conviction that comes with communion is lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of what I see happening. And as I talk to the privilege that I have to speak with people every week, the common thing I hear is that, you know, I've been going to church 30 years. How come no one ever told me this? I've been going to church 20 years. How come no one ever told me this? How come no one ever told me how God feels about me?
Well, you can only rise to the level, quite frankly, of the belief, the faith, and the knowledge of your leader.
Mm.
And I don't, that's not a criticism,
mm-hmm.
it's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the leader of the church is, the pastor, you're
right.
gonna basically be taken to that person's level.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person isn't constantly growing
mm-hmm.
and allowing themselves to be vulnerable, then you could end up kind
of
in a...
Well, and I think in the pastor's job, one of the biggest jobs they have is that of being a vessel, not of owning it or having it. We're just pass-through vessels. I mean, how many times in my life have I seen God do things way beyond me in a session? How many times have you're sitting here in this radio station? I mean, I don't think that was... ultimately your goal.
I remember one time, this was years ago when I was in Bible college, the pastor got up one morning and said, I don't have a message. God didn't give me anything this week.
There's a little transparency for you.
And,
I don't make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, everybody goes, huh? I mean, the mouths of jaw just fell open. He said, it could have been me. I may have had a bad day. I just didn't connect. I didn't hear anything. Nothing sparked.
Right.
You know, and for me to get up and just blab doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to turn this into a prayer meeting, and we'll just pray this morning.
Excellent.
What was wrong with that?
Nothing. Yeah. I think that's good.
Hi, Janet. Welcome to the program.
Great segue into what I had to say.
We aim to please here at the Dove.
Thank you so much. Years ago, when I first started going to a very prominent church here in the Valley, Wednesday evening, Sunday evening for the communion service, we broke up into small prayer groups. And we shared one another's burdens. We had 4 to 6 people in a group, typically. If there were a lot of people, we might go up to 8. But we got to know each other.
Good.
And we shared each other's burdens, and we prayed, and, you know, it was a regular basis, and then we were encouraged to share answers to prayer in the service and stuff, and, you know, praise reports. And I remember growing by leaps and bounds, and
yep.
People were connected,
mm-hmm.
and we had accountability. And when we went, we felt like there was someone who really cared.
Right.
And we developed very good friendships.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Well,
it's not in the big picture.
It's there's definitely an issue there, Jana. And I appreciate what you say, because I think what you're talking about is really one of the missing components, is that deep and intimate fellowship is what mm-hmm. makes churches alive.
I agree. I think okay. that's the only way we can be alive. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to just go in.
It's true.
Listen, and you know you're hurting.
Right.
And it's really hard to open up. But it's so much easier when you're opening up to the Lord of the universe, who loves you and you know it, and you're taking each other's burden.
Right.
Yeah. Gotta go, Jan. I got some other calls coming in. Thanks for
all
calling.
All right. Thank
you.
Bye.
One thing about this that she brings up, and I think it's an interesting point. I have lived through the season of a generation saying, well, we need to go back to the good old days.
Uh-huh.
Now, look.
Yeah. Boom. That's not
the question is, does God change?
No.
He doesn't cause change?
He does, but he doesn't change.
He doesn't change.
Immutable.
So we change.
Yep.
Things change. Circumstances change.
Yep.
Pastors change.
Yep.
Churches change.
Yep.
People come and go.
True.
All right. So I'm not too surprised. I really think the deserts are of the Lord, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I think people need to understand that you got to remember God moved them. Moved them from Egypt to the desert.
And kept them there
from the world to where they had to depend on him before he brought them into the promised land.
And they had to stay there 40 years.
Well, they were kind of hard-headed. Okay. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Praise God. I was so thrilled this morning when I heard you speaking about communion. I've been saved since 1962.
Wow.
And I'm used to the old things. I'm used to the way you take communion. You go, you come before him. Everybody does it at one time. You hear about it. You take time to make sure, check yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid the only word I can use is a lot of churches were becoming too politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's saddening.
All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, I could comment on that all day, but we'll just roll with this stuff here because I want to get everybody in. Liza, hi.
Hey, Barry.
Hey.
Oh, boy, you're ringing my bell this morning.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. What I love about your program is it's kind of like sitting in the living room and everybody's talking and sharing their opinions about
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. I think we need to open the discussion, and I think the pastors really need to be a part of the discussion.
Well, I'm working on a group of cross-denominations pastors to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And my topic is not only this. But I want to ask every pastor, do they believe in miracles?
Mm-hmm.
And what about miracles? Mm-hmm. Are they for today?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go ahead, Liza.
Well, I just kind of reiterate everything that everyone else has been sharing, you guys included. Patrick, you always have some interesting things, even though they may be controversial.
You know, I do what I can.
You know, I think you said intimacy, and I think another word for that might be community.
Yeah.
And I think that's
absolutely
a lot of what we're missing. I think churches are making a stab at it with, you know, cell groups and, and Bible studies and things like that. But I'm one of those people that's not in a fellowship right now. I've, you know, visited a few churches, but they are exactly as you said, very predictable. You know, there's a program, a sequence to everything that happens. Everyone's trying to be friendly and glad-handing, and you know, I think their hearts are in the right place, but you walk out, and then what?
Yeah.
And the last church that I went to, I had I loved a lot of the things about the church, but there were a couple of things that were amiss, and a situation that developed that needed to have some accountability attached to it that I was personally involved in. And my pastor just said, you know what? You go find a church where you can find that happening. It's not going to happen here.
Yeah,
and I mean that's the short.
I don't want to turn this into church bashing, but I just think that all what's provoking this is that for the most part, churches are in a format, it's very predictable, and it's very scheduled and very much regulated, and the average person walk in the church, sits down, walks in, and walks out the same way. And I think they're becoming quite concerned about that.
Well, and here's another concern I have is that, you know, pastors are under a lot of pressure and pastors have a lot of responsibility. And I think that ultimately what happens, they're the first ones cut out of the fellowship. And they have to go it alone many times because they can't let anybody in because, you know, Their job depends on it, or whatever. And I think that's one of the big problems here
they become isolated.
You can't lead people into intimacy when you're outside of it. Yeah. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And one of my great desires is to really help pastors gain the skills, because I don't believe a lot of them have the skills to do what I am calling intimacy, A, with God or with their parishioners, because of a lot of the political and social things that are set up that are sort of embedded in what it means to be a pastor in our culture. And I think some of those things have to be definitely looked at, and those guys have to be helped through that.
And don't you think pastors really need to look with fresh eyes at what their calling is? Because a lot of pastors that I've experienced, whether it's, you know, TV pastors or whatever, they seem like they're more like entertainers and speakers, and they love to, you know, make a presentation.
Right.
They're not really shepherds. And I'm not saying that one is wrong, but you have to have a shepherd. You can't just have a speaker.
Right.
You got too many people to please. Got to scoot, Liza.
Yeah.
Thanks, Liza.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, it would be real. This could go the wrong way, and I don't want that to happen.
No, but it's important.
At the same time, I'm one of these guys. I would do anything. I'll fight for the protection of the pulpit. But at the same time, I like to put a boot in some of them because
now you're talking fair.
Well, you know, I mean, how else can you say it? I mean, you know, it's because they're battered about. I think part of this is understand where your strengths are, and get help where your weaknesses are,
right?
Be transparent and all that. So it's easy to tell a pastor what to do and all that, and that's not what I want to get into. What I want to make here is that we are now having to defend our faith, and the question is, what do we really believe, and do we know it? Do we have this intimate relationship with God that we can go through the storm and come out the other end, and He's still God?
Right.
But we all have crises going on.
That's right.
I could share you with mine, and you can give me yours, and all of a sudden nobody's. I mean, you know, we put the D in dysfunction.
I like to say I put the fun back in dysfunctional.
Well, whatever it is. But, I mean, we all got our issues. But I think what's happening here is, are we prepared to defend God for being God?
Well, you know, it makes me think of something, you know. I don't believe any martyr ever went to their death for an ideal or an idea.
Yeah.
I think that the martyrs went to their graves because of someone they knew and had an intimate understanding of. What he did for me, there's no way I can deny him. can't do it. Sorry, you'll have to kill me. That was an intimate, personal thing. And that's part of what I see lacking. I see a lot of folks who have a lot of information, know a lot of facts. Their heads are full of the gospel, but their hearts are vacant.
Yeah. And I just think the church is in an interesting spot. Do I believe in miracles? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in divine healing? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've experienced it, I mean, you know, you can't deny it, right?
Right.
But it's being marketed. And when I see the marketing going on, right. I'm going, oh, man, I just go, oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of stuff out there that you are saying is not gospel.
Right.
It's fringe gospel at the best.
And Paul said, let them be cut off. If they preach a gospel other than one that we taught, let them be an anathema. Paul was not mincing words, and he wasn't playing around. And, you know, I think that mentality is part of what's lost. We're not guarding the gospel. It is the basis of the church. It is the basis of our relationship with God. It is the basis of us as believers. And when that starts to get pulled apart, everything starts to unravel. Yeah. And that is what has happened.
If you've received Christ in your life, all things, not some, mm-hmm. all things mm-hmm. become new.
Right.
And you're changed. And if all things aren't new, then mm-hmm. you need to take another trip and get another dip.
Not only that, but here's the thing. A friend of mine who works in the CBA, Brian Phelps, he went to a CBA conference, and there was a group there doing an interview with all these heavy hitters in the Christian world, and they were asking the question, what is justification? One of the foundational realities of the gospel, God's justification of us as sinners. People couldn't answer the question. They could not answer the question that is very basic to the gospel. Why? It's not being preached. It's not being taught. People don't know. We don't have Sunday school. We don't have catechism as they used to. We're not training people up in the gospel. Therefore, they don't know. So when the trial and the heat comes, they burn up. We need to get back to the gospel. So my question to you, my question to those listening, what is it? Do you know what it is? What does the Bible say that it is? Not what does that guy say. I challenge you to get into the Word yourself.
Be careful you don't go into legalism here.
No, but I'm talking about when you see the gospel, legalism will not be an issue.
That's absolutely right. Hey, that's why you're here on Tuesdays. His number, not mine. Call him, not me, 301-5500.
Please do call me.
See you next week, pal.
All right, bye.